isn't it? please forgive me, because Afrikaans is my eerste taal. En Engels is baie keer bietjie moeilik om te verstaan. That's right. See, Pastor Bob's, he learned Afrikaans so well. This is the last time I was here. He just knows everything. I was actually going to preach in Afrikaans. I thought we were talking about cessation, but it hasn't stopped for me. Well, the last time we were here, we met in a completely different place, and Pastor Bob drove with me around here and said, well, that's our property, even though it wasn't yours yet. And even though it wasn't bought, even it was just the house standing there that I saw. And I'm glad we've been praying for that. We've received the letters that you wrote, and it's nice to be here in the new place. So we can thank the Lord for that, and we're thankful that for you having us again. As your pastor said, this, our family has grown since the last time. My wife is taking care of Julia, so that's probably why you won't see her right now. But we had Ruan. I think I told you last time we thought it was a good Afrikaans name, but we found out it's actually Scottish. And it means redhead. So, but that's his name, Ruan. So, and then we had Jesse Dean, and he's 2 years old. He's our lady at the airport called us our sandwich child. He's in the middle, sandwich. And he's 2 years old, and the reason why we weren't coming back sooner was because we were trying to get his birth certificate in South Africa. So it took us about a year and a half to get the papers. And the Lord provided for us during that time because we needed to raise support. We had churches, individuals help us pay for our rent while we were staying in South Africa. So that's why we didn't come back sooner. It's all Jesse's fault. But then while we were waiting, Julia came along too. And Julia is 4 months old. She was 4 months old on Valentine's Day. And so she's one of the, she's probably the happiest kid of the family at the moment. And how do you know your kids are missionaries? If they ask, when, where are we going home, and the home is a motel or somebody else's house. So we're glad to be visiting with you here, and I would invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's the right way, 1 Corinthians. I usually say 1 Corinthians, and people would look and be like, all right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we can go to the next slide, please, Zoe. And I'd also like to thank the characters for opening their home to us, and especially Ace and Brian, who got kicked out of the room. Thank them for opening up a place for us to stay. And I'm going to start off by just explaining to you this chapter in, well, about the Corinthians, about what kind of people they were, who they thought and followed. And the Corinthians were a lot like us. They were people who had people they followed. They followed, in their time, philosophers, politicians, ideals. They all thought, well, I'll follow this theologian or that theologian, or I follow Paul or I follow Apollos. And for us to know that is, we need to know that the church, it's not the same. Right? We don't get to choose. We don't pick parties in it. The Lord used all those different people. People followed Paul because, well, he was the Apostle Paul and he was taught by Christ. Or they followed Cephas because he could explain the story of Christ and the miracles that he did well. Or they followed Apollos. He's like your pastor, very eloquent in saying things, or preaching, unlike me. But they all followed, well, I'll follow Paul, Apollos, or somebody else. And we need to realize who these men were. They were just servants of the Lord. They weren't just that person. They were serving the Lord. They weren't anything in their name. So let's read chapter 3 and verse, let's start from verse 1. And I'm going to read from the probably the worst English translation for me to try and get the words out, because it's in the King James. So I'm struggling with the big words. But "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereto you were not able to bear it, neither yet know now are able, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" And as I said to you before, who other are these men than messengers of the gospel of salvation? They were used of the Lord. And there's only one prerequisite for us to do the same thing as they've done. And that's, we had to believe. We have to be His followers to be able to serve Him. And I think, Zoe, can we go to the next slide, please? I think we had to believe. And I, as a family, me and Michelle, we couldn't serve the Lord until the moment that we believed. We accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. You can't serve Him if you don't follow Him. And if we read, let's read those verses again. "Ye believed to serve God." The apostles themselves needed to believe. The Corinthians needed to believe. You need to believe. And Michelle and I needed to believe to serve the Lord. Zoe, can we go to the next one? I'm going to keep you busy. Okay, now I have a short video for those of you who don't know me or Michelle, just the testimony of salvation. And if you think it's strange, it was really strange to me to record myself. So you could press it one more time.
I met my future wife, Michelle. During the first year of our marriage, the Lord spoke to me through His word in verses such as Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, that said, "Whom shall I send?" And also through the prayers of my wife. At this time, I was a draftsman at a railway company, but I knew that I needed to be trained better to serve the Lord. In that year, we moved down to Cape Town so that I could study at the Church Ministries Institute of South Africa. Here I was trained to be a church planting missionary. We also did an internship at three different churches during this period. The first church that we did that was Tecumseh Baptist Community, and then followed by the Coral Valley Baptist Church and also the Swatland Baptist Community. To achieve our goal of being church planting, we went to Atlanta, Georgia to join Mission Agency Biblical Ministries Worldwide. Later that year, in September, our home church, Friendship Baptist Church of Raleigh, North Carolina, had a commissioning service for us to be church planting missionaries. And we have been on dedication ever since.
That tells you a little bit about us, how we came to know the Lord and serve Him. And I think, Zoe, we can go to the next one. All right. there's certain goals as a church planter, and the way that Paul worked is they worked as a team. Paul and Timothy, Paul and Barnabas, Barnabas and Silas, and you always look at these different names, having in mind that they were servants of the Lord and not their names. But the goal as a church planter is to build relationships with people. And this is your pastor shared this morning, go out into this community and build relationships, build friendships, build on talking to people. How can you share the gospel if you don't build something? There's no basis for them to open their door even. And people would in South Africa would look at us and say, well, if you dress nice and you go door to door, they would think you are a Jehovah's Witness. But the Lord wants us to serve Him and build. He wants us to do something. And Zoe, can I get the next one? I think. En hy sê vir hulle, kom agter my aan en ek sal julle vissers van mense maak. For those of you who don't understand that verse, it says there, anybody who follows me, I will make them fishers of men. Goes back to the first part, you needed to believe. So once you believe, that's what your purpose is, to make other, to catch more fish. And Zoe, you can go to the, and he said unto them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Doesn't seem like we have a choice, does it? The Lord wants us to be fishers of men. I have had an example is the Lord, if He grabs you out of the water and He revives you on the beach, you don't just lay there and look at the sun and have a tan. He revives you to get up and go back in and save somebody else. He wants you to not just be saved. He wants you to go and make disciples. Do the whole verse. Zoe, next one. And it says here, I have planted, Apollos watereth, but God gave the increase. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. Once again, it goes back to the part where it says, I did this, I did that, but God did it. God made it. We can't make things grow. We might be able to sow the seed and water it, but only God can germinate that seed and make it grow. And for us as a family, as church planters, and for you as a church, it's hard when you share the gospel, when you go down the street and people reject you, and they don't want to hear anything about you. The Lord says, just keep on. And there's a well-known missionary called David Livingston that you might have heard of. But his motto was, forward. The Lord doesn't ask us to look back. He says, keep on doing the work that I've asked you to do. And look forward and do it. And I will take care of the rest. You just be faithful towards what I asked you to do. And the verse 10 says, according to the grace of which God has given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And as a church planter myself, I might never see the church grow to other heights or more people. Our goal is to lay the foundation, find the families, grow them, and find someone to take over. Find someone in our church to train and let them build thereon. And then we're going to the next place. As our director of our mission says, a missionary always has an exit strategy. Not to run away from it, but to lay the foundation and let it grow. Somebody else put some bricks on the building. Zoe. All right. What is the foundation? There's only one foundation. And that's Christ. Not Christ plus something, or Christ plus that, or Christ plus this. It's Him. He's the foundation. If you build it on anything else, it just fall over. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. No other foundation. And I can't say it better. That's it. Full stop. And Zoe, next. And here's a, just to talk about building relationships, we have a Christian camp, and we have a lot of young people where we are. And I think this short little video will just tell you about the young people in South Africa and explain their situation. It might not be exactly the same, but it's very similar. So if you can press it one more time, Zoe.
Teenagers in small and rural towns are often sent to boarding schools where there is no contact with their families. Here in South Africa, there are many things that lead to poor family life. Too many sports activities, involvement in gangs, and the taking of drugs lead to the degradation of the family. One of our goals during this critical time in teenagers' lives is to keep the family units together through the help of the Lord. Missionaries before us have seen young people come to the Lord and serve Him faithfully in their local churches. This is also our goal. In our youth group this past year, a young boy and girl accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. We also had a visitor who received a Bible for the first time. She said she'd never seen one and never owned one. This was a great joy. Please pray for us as we have our youth meetings and youth camps throughout the year, that those who come will accept the Lord as their Savior as they hear the Word of God preached. Please pray for us as we focus on the youth work here in South Africa as a part of our church planting ministry.
And I want to emphasize that part. Church planting is not just evangelism and preaching. It's about building relationships. Building relationships in your own family. And Pastor also talked about his working with his son, which his son would, I think, oh, I'm dead. But it doesn't matter where you are in life, you can never stop building relationships. You can just build them bigger and stronger. And the Lord, especially in the families that we have in South Africa, the young people get neglected. They just get left alone. And I want to use an example of King Hezekiah. He asked the Lord, "Lord, give me 15 years of my life extra so I can see it through and live a good life." And the Lord gave him that. And then the Lord said to him, "Well, times are going to be bad and it's going to be hard and it's going to be rough." And Hezekiah said, well, at least it's not in my time. It's not my problem." But for us as believers and as missionaries, and you as church, you are missionaries too. The Lord says you actually need to care about what's going to happen after us. The Lord wants us to grow our young people so that they can be the next generation to serve the Lord and grow new believers. He wants us to not be like Hezekiah was. He wants us to take action. Zoe, the next one, please. And I'm going to mention a few names from people that I worked with. And Franz, Ihu, Johan, Mark, Judy, Ihu, Marisa, Michelle. I can name you a whole bunch of names. And you probably won't remember half of those names. I might even know half the people that are in our mission. I can name you all these names. And they are just servants who serve the Lord. And so neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God gives the increase. You could still pray for us, and if you don't even remember our names, know the faces, but know that we are servants of the Lord's. And not doing it for our own name, but we're doing it for the Lord's name. Zoe, the next one, please. All right. And now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. So the church planter and the pastor, they're one. They work together on the same team. They pull in the same direction. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And I believe I had that picture up of that family the last time I was here. And the young man is still wanting to serve the Lord. So I'm trying to get him to... I'm praying for him. I'm not trying to get him. I'm praying through the Lord that he would use this young man and his family to want to serve the Lord in full-time ministry. Zoe, the next one, please. Understanding the way that our people are in South Africa, who they are, who we minister to, and in South Africa, I can't use the word mosaic, but I think I can use it here. It doesn't mean anything. There's a church group called the Mosaic Church, but here I can use that word. And it's, our church is, somebody asked me, what does your church look like? Is it European, African, Malaysian? I said, our ministry is to everyone. South Africa is called the Rainbow Nation, and we have all the different kinds of people, all the different languages, and our camps, you can find people group, look for a people group, and you'll find them in there. Everybody's there. And the Lord said his salvation appeared to all men. Not to a select group, but it was to everyone. And the Lord wants us to share the gospel with everyone. And Zoe, the next one. All right, here's another video. It tells you a little bit more about South Africa and the Rainbow Nation. So if you press it again, thank you. Multicultural Mosaic Society.
Missionaries have laid the foundation in Jesus Christ. We join them in our commitment to evangelism, discipleship, and leadership training as we plant the next generation of churches. The Afrikaans language was spoken by the European settlers, the Afro-Malaysian people group, and many other African people groups. By the end of this year, we expect to focus our evangelism. Next, we will find a house in that community and begin establishing contacts. The next step is to start building evangelistic relationships. We need churches to stand alongside Michelle and me as we step into this challenging world of lost souls and confused families. We are praying that you will join us in prayer and in financial support.
All right, well, I have to work on that video because the sound goes up and down. But Zoe, you can go to the next one, please. And it was alluded to that verse this morning, but we'll read it now. It says, "Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." The harvest ready. We need to go gather it. And the Lord needs more workers. And if you don't think you're a worker, then you might be part of the harvest. I met the man who had the quote. He said, "You are now entering the harvest field," as soon as you left his house. And so as you can choose, you can be either a harvester or you can be a missionary or you can be the mission field yourself. Zoe, you can go to the next one. "Daarom, my geliefde broeders, wees standvastig, onbeweeglik, altijd oorvloedig in die werk van die Here, omdat jullie weet dat jullie arbeid in die Here niet te vergeefs is nie." Zoe, you can go to the English one. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." If you do it for the Lord, it's not in vain. You think, oh, there's nothing's come of this. You don't know. The Lord's still working. And Zoe, you can get in the next one. And I took a picture of Ruan. He's enlisted, right? We all need to be enlisted. And we are in the Lord's army. Whether you like it or not, if you are saved, you signed up. You can either be a good missionary or a bad one. And the Lord wants us to be good ones. And those words up there say, "Dit is ons erens." Anybody know what that means? No, Pastor? No. It was taken at the Monument of Language in South Africa, but it says, that is our charge. This is our charge. This is, to be better translated, this is our urge, it sounds like. There's probably not a way to translate it right, but this is our urge, this is our heart, is to lead people to the Lord. Lead Afrikaans-speaking people to the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants each and every one of us to do, is He wants us to lead others to Christ. Zoe, go to the next one. And I think you can press the button one more time. There's a sheet up back there. If you don't receive the prayer letter already, please sign up for it. And you can read about what's going on with us and where we are and how we're serving the Lord. And then, Zoe, you can go to the next one. I can never top the character's blog name. That is just the best, a bunch of characters. That's the best. Ours is, unfortunately, is DMRJ Rensburg, Dion, Michelle, Ruan, Jesse, and we put a J on top of the other J as Julia, rensburg.blogspot.com. And you can read of daily missionary life and interesting things that happen. And we were talking about people who are false prophets this morning in the Sunday school class. We had somebody in our town say that he was Jesus too. So you can go read about it on there. And it will say there's no 911 in South Africa. That's the title of it. Because we had a riot like right next to our house about this. But all the other things you can go read about us and how we serve the Lord and about daily family life as missionaries, please go to and go read it. You'll find a good reading. And just as we enjoy receiving your letters and knowing when the building comes up and when you bought it, it's exciting to know, see how the Lord's working. He's not just up there somewhere, as people believe. He's involved intricately in our lives. And I just want to close in prayer. Can I pray for you as a church? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your grace and your mercy, that every step that we take is only by your grace. Lord, I thank you for this church and for all the workers here that serve you and every believer. Lord, I pray for this community, that the community will see this church as a shining light to this area, and that they will know that everyone here is different, and that they know that they are believers. Lord, I thank you for Pastor and him for his faithful service to you. And Lord, we read about it, and we are just thankful of how you've worked in his life and in this church's life. I pray that as we go out of this room today and during the week, and that we will be servants of you, and that we will not think of ourselves first, but that we will be those who plant and those who water and those who build on the foundations, and that we will do it for you, and that we will make it our heart's desire to serve you faithfully in everything that we do. I pray that, Lord, that you will also send forth more workers to serve you, and that they will gather the harvest. And Lord, we pray that as we look forward to your coming again, that we will work day and night and not stop. We ask this all in your Son's precious name. Amen.